Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs. Plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
When you need to know something, you trust someone who's been right on the money before. That's where we come in.
That's what we do.
But we just call it the winning edge to save time. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
College football, full circle.
On the right, fake to Armstrong, run, book five.
To the end zone, drives his way in. Virginia Tech has won it in 6 overtimes.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Sports Grid. I'm your host, Mike Blewett, along with Rick Haro, bringing you a special edition of Football Full Circle right now. It's the future of sports wagering. We're going to go through the entire landscape, how we got here as a network, where the NCAA is right now. We're going to do, we're going to focus on the college hour here. We're going to get into the NFL. We've got some great guests to take you through this topic. And I'm honored to work with Rick Haro for the very first time. You can find him on Twitter at Rick Haro. Obviously, his Haro Sports Ventures is something that we can talk about throughout this show. But Rick, good to work with you here and excited to talk about this topic, which I think people have a lot of interest in. How the heck did we get here?
Well, and not only that, well, first, love working with you. I don't know how we're going to get through all this stuff in 2 hours, but I guess we got to try. It, you know, the fun thing is, years ago, we wouldn't even consider a 20-minute show on gambling, much less 2 hours. Now it's just like everything else, and the guests will confirm it. We've come a long way. Dollars, 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 and that's exactly what this is all about. And hopefully we'll go through some statistics, what it means, and have some fun doing it.
Yeah. So, you know, just to give everybody a sense, of, and for those of you listening, how did Sports Grid get here? Well, you know, we were born out of the fantasy sports world. We were heavily involved in fantasy sports. I've been an analyst and a host on the various iterations of what this network is for nearly a decade. And we focused on fantasy sports. DFS started taking over. Rick, you remember that? FanDuel and DraftKings moving into the market. Other players as well, obviously. But it became very clear that those of us talking fantasy and talking DFS very much had this topic in mind. It just wasn't really legal. There was nowhere really to place bets, and to talk about people wagering with illegal bookies was not something that was going to be embraced. And now here we are, 3 years since the Supreme Court overturned the federal ban on sports betting, and a ton of progress has been made. Just last year, the number of states with legal sports betting, Rick, was 18, and now we're up to nearly 30.
And there are going to be, my prediction, everybody's prediction, 42 to 44 states in the next 5 years. And the moral arguments, as we know, are completely out the window. New York, we'll go through some of all of this. You go through the, well, we don't want to do it because we'll let the brothers across the river do it. Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Delaware, Jersey. Look to your left, look to your right, but they're all making $150, $200 million a month. Roads, bridges, teachers, infrastructure. And the bottom line is that in 96, about 30 million people visited Vegas, and 29 million, 87% of them gambled. That's where you went. And then Governor Murphy and New Jersey with a significant petition at the Supreme Court, and it opened it up. I personally, after you looked at the opinion as a lawyer, you never thought this was going to be as quick because everybody, fueled by the gaming institutions, national and foreign, pounced on this deal as quickly as possible. And here you are, as you said, with the 30 states, but, you know, more every day, basically.
Yeah, and we a lot of numbers out there that we can drop. One of them is that the wagering on college football in the NFL are by far the two most popular sports to be wagered on. $93 billion wagered on college and professional football in 2015, and that number more than doubling today. Obviously, you talked about the revenue. New Jersey has become the largest sportsbook. New Jersey, the collective New Jersey mobile sportsbook apps have become the largest sports book in the entire world, surpassing Las Vegas, and gambling has only been legal for a couple of years. Since 2018, it's really been growing exponentially, though, Rick, which is when we saw the overturning of all the federal laws banning sports gambling. U.S. sports betting revenue was just over $500 million in 2018. This year in 2021, it's at $2.1 billion. And by 2024, expected to generate nearly $7 billion. So that's the revenue for the sports books. You always have to remember, this is very much a high volume, low margin type of business.
Well, and that's the reason why everybody's excited about it. And we can talk about it after the break. But, you know, $1 billion is a lot of money. But when you think about what it really means, it states Indiana, just in the last month, enjoyed its best handle ever, $461 million a month. Legal sports betting in Illinois, when you take a look at that, is over $200 million. Michigan, $113 million, according to their sports betting people. Colorado, the biggest increase, well over $123 million, about an 80% increase over the week or the year before. And that money is going to water conservation, for example, on and on and on. The point is, these states are looking at how to solve financial problems, fiscal problems, and that's why they're all getting into specifics. You know, when we get back after the break, we can talk about some of the states that are looking to do it and what they're doing to expand, like New York. But it's very clear, Mike, one thing, obvious and clear, the states really, really want to do it right now and more on the way.
Yeah, and of course, the backdrop of some of this is the pandemic, where people are finding different ways to create revenue, perhaps from some previous losses. We are going to focus on college and the NCAA future of sports wagering here in the first hour. Really interesting trends happening in the college space, and certainly going to have a guest a little bit later this hour, Blake Lawrence, the CEO and founder of Open Doors, an NIL-related platform. How does that tie in to NCAA and sports wagering? So it's Mike Blewett and Rick Haro on the Football Full Circle edition, this Thanksgiving edition of Future of Sports Wagering. We'll be right back on the grid after this.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't. And wish you had. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting in
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Sites and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
No doubt about it.
Things are crazy right now.
Just read a paper.
On second thought, don't.
You're listening to something rock solid. Something to depend on.
Believe in.
Expert information on gaming.
Odds.
And more. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Back on the Grid, Football Full Circle, the future of sports wagering. Mike Blewett and Rick Haro. For those of you out there listening, please head over to your phone. Follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and find all the latest goings on this network, on this station. Interesting topics here today, obviously talking about the growth of wagering and the future of sports wagering. And focusing on the NCAA right now, Rick, obviously there's a lot of different partnerships that have happened, not just from a state standpoint, but from a university standpoint. I know you wanted to comment on that coming out of the break.
Yeah, I do. When you want people to go to the phones, I was wondering whether you wanted them to call you and you know, offer your dinner or you know, it's
hey,
a
telephone. I would take that.
I'm just going to say, you know, congratulations. Anybody that wants to call Mike Blewett, I'll give you his number at the end of the show. That's perfect. So, listen, the partnerships of the states that are getting involved is not just university related. There are a lot of political institutions that are putting pressure on states to try to get things done. That was my point. So Cardinals, Blues, Royals, and the soccer team in St. Louis have all gotten together as an example to put some pressure on the Missouri legislature to legalize gambling in a state where they said, heck no, we weren't going to do it. Well, exactly 3 weeks after that, they end up doing it. Ohio sports betting, 90% agreed. Licensing issued in 2022. Why? Well, Browns, Indians, now the Guardians, obviously, Bengals, Reds, but also, obviously, Ohio State, University of Cincinnati. Sports betting could be in Minnesota soon. It's the Indian compact stuff. And Connecticut, as we know, just opened up because of Foxwoods and the Mohican Sun. And kind of interesting, I wanted to just end this comment with California. California is one of those kind of liberal-oriented states. Heck, we're not going to do it. And they said, no way. Well, California's homeless residents make up more than 27% of the homeless population in the country, about 161,000 people. Why is that relevant? Well, all of a sudden, Fresno and San Francisco and L.A. and five other cities get together and say, we got to solve this problem. How are we going to do it? Revenue from sports betting. It's amazing how the moral argument is gone when you have to deal with the hard realities of how to fund stuff.
Yeah, and obviously these programs, I know some people have, and some people may still have a moral objection to it, but the reality is you can earmark some of this, some of the profit, some of the revenue gained in order, you can earmark it towards programs like you just mentioned. But let's focus on the NCAA here for a moment. So, last September, just to give you a sense of how some of these partnerships have popped up. Last September, a few months after Colorado gave residents the green light to bet on sports, the University of Colorado made gambling company PointsBet an official athletic department sponsor. So that was a shocker to some. But in addition to that, the university lobbied for Colorado's law to prohibit player prop bets, which is something we often talk about here on the Grid. And it's as a means of discouraging bad behavior on its sport teams. As part of its deal with PointsBet, students and faculty are not allowed to place bets, and there will not be a dedicated betting lounge inside Folsom Field. I brought up that to state, look how much progress we've made, and yet there are still issues surrounding the NCAA that will remain that differs from professional sports.
Well, and let me go one step further. You mentioned Colorado, which is a great example. Let me give you one that's hitting now with LSU and Caesars. You know, the Caesars Sportsbook Skyline Club at Tiger Stadium will be the new name there. The signage throughout Tiger Stadium, the Maravich Center, Alex Box Stadium, baseball, as well as an exclusive presence on the LSU Sports mobile app. And the important thing here, which is the comment about needing this to raise dollars, the 21 men's and women's varsity athletic programs will be supported by Caesars. Plus, we get to see hundreds of those Caesars commercials, which are driving me nuts. I don't know about you, but they're there, and they're dominating the airwaves. The point is, this is a model, Colorado, yours, the LSU one I just talked about, that every single D1, and for that matter, every single university in the country is looking at. Why? Because they need more revenues, and they're looking at alcohol, and they're looking at naming, and they're looking at this, which is gambling. And if they can figure out how a way to spread the money out among all of their sports, it's a complement to all of the other revenue streams that they're talking about, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, you mentioned the alcohol piece, and I think that it is relevant to this discussion because I think it is indicative of the what I would term blue laws that existed in many states and on campuses for many years, whether it was dry campuses, and certainly for many, many years. In fact, my alma mater, a religious, a Catholic affiliated school, a Jesuit school, Boston College, just several years ago instituted alcohol sales, beer and wine sales in the stadium. And that was not something that I ever really thought was going to be a reality. And it was for many years just a handful of schools that sold alcohol, and now we are at the Division I FBS level. We have dozens and dozens of schools that are certainly doing that, especially post-pandemic, Rick, where they are needing revenue. I think gambling and wagering ties into that in a very similar way, where there comes a reality that you're not going to stop the freight train, and you're trying to legislate people's morality when in many ways people have voted for and approved, tacitly approved, this type of behavior. Even if an individual doesn't, whether it's gambling laws or marijuana laws or alcohol being sold in certain areas, I think by and large the people have spoken in these instances.
Yeah, and I think the other issue that people attempted to use was it's pretty much gone these days, which is the limitations of underage drinking, gambling, and otherwise. The states are now following whatever the universities are following, whatever the state rules are relative to age of alcohol and age of gaming. Most of the times, the access to the mobile app and the Chinese wall that's put up, you know, you after you're 18 years old, drink, there are no prohibitions, and the college freshman for the large part is over 18. So that's not to say everybody, but it is to say that the big argument that's been used is no longer as relevant, especially when colleges, as you said, Mike, are looking at these huge deficits. And if you notice, and we'll talk about that later on too, the naming, so the merger of cryptocurrency and naming of college campus stadiums, deal with that. But every athletic department director in the country is charged with trying to figure out how to generate new money. And this, as well as the alcohol sales, as you mentioned, are great examples of new money that they got to find, and they got to find fast.
Yeah, and I should take a moment to also explain to people sort of what my background is. I think they probably know yours. You're a little bit better than mine. You're an author. You're a professor. So people just know me as maybe flapping my gums on the grid, but I do happen to concurrently have a 20-year sports career, a lot of it spent in sports technology and sports marketing. I actively work with a company called Collegiate Sports Management Group, and we regularly consult with colleges and conferences. So I do have my hands in a lot of these issues when it comes to the day-to-day business of college athletics. So I just thought it was important to kind of set the tone for that, Rick, to think I'm not just, you know, reading a bunch of articles and spewing out information.
Who says you're flapping your gum? You know, listen, you have a very significant role in the industry because you talk about this stuff, you're a talent, but you do this stuff. And it's also, you know, very important. And we've had a guy, let me just take this to introduce Blake Lawrence as we do this. He was a guy who played at Nebraska, and he said, let me do Prince of Nakamura's stuff because he needed help. He parlayed that into a 70,000-person business. And the deal is he talks all about NILs, about the future of college sports, about pay-for-play. And so really excited to have him as a guest coming up in just a minute.
Audio Jungle.
Took you long enough to get here, Sporto.
Now that you've found us,
keep it right here for sports news you can use. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Opinions. Everybody's got one.
You know the rest.
The trick is finding one that's actually backed up by expert analysis and accurate information.
The word is trust.
And we've got plenty of it to go around.
Get the winning edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Sports Professor Rick Caro, football full circle, holiday edition, college edition. Nobody better for us, Blake Lawrence, the co-founder and CEO of Open Doors. More than 70,000 athletes use it to build, protect, and monetize their brands. Support from the world's leading companies and advertisers and partners with PGA Tour, NFLPA, NBPA, women's golf, women's soccer, Major League Baseball PA, and 100 college athletic programs. There's a lot more that we could talk about on a bio, but we want to have time for some substance. Blake, how are you?
Rick, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. More important than anything else, how is your trusted cat, Rio? We've done interviews before, and that cat is amazing. He sits there and listens to you. I wish I had two-legged mammals who would do that.
You know, during the pandemic, many of us have found time with our pets to be quite valuable. And Rio, my cat, has become a lap cat and likes to be on video calls. He's doing well.
He's a star, man. He is a star. So give us the, you know, the elevator speech of how Open Doors came to be. Obviously, it was founded in 2013, and it was largely because you were a visionary and a former athlete, University of Nebraska, and an MBA grad. But your passion for sports is combined with innovative marketing solutions for people that you thought needed help.
Yeah, certainly. This is something Open Doors. We started the company in 2012 to help one athlete, and now more than 70,000 around the world use this tool every day. And, you know, for those listeners that are out there, when you see an athlete endorsement, or you see a pro athlete in a commercial, or now you're seeing student athletes on billboards or promoting products on social media, there's a lot of things that go into that endorsement deal coming together. There's the pitch, there's the negotiation, the contracts, the payments, the reminders of showing up, the scheduling flights and Uber rides and whatnot. So there's a lot of logistics that go into bringing an endorsement to life. And Open Doors is a technology provider. We provide the platform that's behind the scenes helping ensure that athletes know where to be, what to do, how to get paid, how to do taxes. I mean, the entire process for an athlete about a decade ago was all manual, right? They had an agent and a manager and a marketing rep and a publicist all kind of in their business, helping them try and track down and manage these endorsements. Open Doors has an app that manages all that for athletes. So it's just kind of bringing technology into an archaic, disparate offline industry. And we've been working on it for a decade. And, you know, the pro athlete space, we've got significant partners. But in the college athlete space, this is becoming the standard way that athletes are managing their NIL opportunities is through Open Doors.
And so what started with Prince of Mukamara obviously has become a very important platform for all college athletes. What has surprised you the most about the rapid rise of the NIL movement?
You know, I think one of my favorite examples in real time is Jared Casey. And this is, so there's, here's what I'll say, Rick, there's bona fide NIL activities like the example I'm about to share. And I'll share an example right after this about some things that are interesting that could change the dynamics of college sports. So there's Jared Casey's the fullback walk-on at Kansas that caught the game-winning two-point conversion against Texas just last weekend. And, you know, Jared, his family kind of recorded the video, went viral, and with Jared within a week is already in an Applebee's commercial that's airing throughout the state of Kansas where he is, you know, high-quality video commercial, and he's talking about there's a two for $22 special at Applebee's, and Jared Casey says, hey, you should always go for two. You know, and that is the type of stuff. I mean, this is a walk-on that's getting paid thousands of dollars, you know, to be a part of this Applebee's campaign, and all of this happened in a week. You know, those things are what surprises me is that that's what should be happening more and more. That's a bona fide NIL activity. Now, there's other types of activities, Rick, that can make you scratch your head.
Yeah, well, the scratching of the head, it reflects the, you know, when I started in this business 9,000 years ago and sports law was wild, 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 wild west, this is quintessentially that. You are obviously helping, you know, University of Oregon and Phil Knight with Sabrina Ionescu announces a marketing firm for Oregon athletes. There are others that are doing the same thing, Villanova with its group marketing effort. I assume most of those are well-intentioned. How do we regulate this industry? Or would you argue that because free market dominates and controls, we don't need to regulate?
You know, Rick, you've been around sports and sports marketing and athlete endorsements for a long time. Not quite 9,000 years, but, you know, I think you've seen the early days and the early scriptures. And, you know, this is an opportunity with NIL and college sports to rewrite the foundation for athlete endorsements. Like, these aren't your granddaddy's endorsements. 90% of all NIL activity is social media related. Like, athletes are getting paid to post on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. And that's very different than multi-year, you know, billboards, commercials, radio spots, types of endorsements that you used to see in the past. So why these, you know, upstart opportunities in each market are happening is that there's an opportunity here to create a new method for maximizing endorsement value for athletes. And so much of that is going to be tied to technology. And so when you talk about compliance, the fact is most of these athletes, 99% of college athletes, don't have agent representation. But 100% of them are using apps on their phone to manage their NIL value, to manage opportunities. And therein lies the opportunity for compliance, because if it's happening through spreadsheets and post-it notes and fax machines and backdoor deals, it's very hard to bring compliance to any industry. But when it's happening online and technology and applications, then you've got an element of control, an element of visibility. And that's where Open Doors sits. Like, we are really the behind the scenes of athlete endorsements for the last decade and behind the scenes of every NIL deal you see in college sports today.
When you say opportunity for compliance, the cynicism in me and the lawyer in me says it's also a platform for noncompliance under the wrong circumstances. And so, obviously, you're doing it right. Is NIL a legitimate endgame? Is it a slippery slope for pay-to-play? How do we end up regulating all of this so your technology is used for the greater good?
Yeah, I would say there's three rules that the NCAA ultimately said to the market. The first one is there has to be quid pro quo, right? So that means that student athletes cannot be simply compensated and calling it NIL compensation. They have to perform a bona fide NIL activity in exchange for that compensation. Now, where our technology plays a role there is we require proof of the activity from the athlete before they're ever compensated. That protects the athlete and the institution and the market. So that's part to really lean on is that this is the first rule. Is that there's got to be proof that something happened. The second one is there's no enrollment inducement. So there can't be a term in an agreement that has a contingency on an athlete's current or future enrollment at an institution. That's pretty easy to see in the contract. Like this, if there's a termination clause that states that if a student athlete is to transfer or is to not attend a certain institution, then they're not due compensation. Like that's easy to pick out, and it shouldn't be in any agreement because it's going to be harmful to the student athlete. The third is pay for play. So performance-based compensation. And that's really most of these pro contracts, Rick, that you've seen, they've got accelerators. Like if an athlete is going to be an all-pro wide receiver, they get paid more by Nike. And so those types of things can't exist in college sports. None of the compensation can be tied to their athletic performance. So those three simple rules, are really all that this industry is built on from the NCAA and regulation standpoint. Now there's state legislation can get confusing and things people got to navigate, but altogether, no, you got to ensure that there's proof and ensure it's not to attend a certain school and it's not based on athletic performance, and then NIL is wide open.
Are we going toward a federal bit of legislation, a federal bill? Are we going alternatively? Are we going to the states that matter, or even a lot of them that are kind of followers, getting into legislation that may have a common goal? Or are we creating a competitive area where one bit of state legislation may create an advantage for those schools relative to their states versus others? We're going a lot of places. So what are we doing?
Well, in 2019, when Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, signed their bill to say that student athletes in California were due the rights to monetize NIL, it set off a chain of events where every state started to work on a bill to ensure that student athletes could earn NIL compensation. It was looked at as an advantage to be a state with an NIL law passed to provide monetization rights to student athletes. And interestingly enough, when the NCAA decided to make no rules, drop all the restrictions on NIL compensation, save for the three we just spoke about, the states that had passed laws are now at a disadvantage. They're being more restrictive on what their schools can do and student athletes can do than states with no laws at all. So because of the disparity and discrepancy in the way this is governed state by state, there's no doubt we're moving towards a federal bill and law around NIL because it's the only way to ensure fairness across the country. So there's a lot of hemming and hawing about what you can do in one state versus another. But interestingly enough, it's the states with laws that are now at a disadvantage than those that have no laws at all.
I don't like this because I say 20 seconds and it ought to be 20 minutes. But if you had NIL in effect when you were playing at Nebraska, how would it impact your life and what would it have been? Would you have caught a 2-point conversion and been the star all over Nebraska?
At Nebraska, I was a starting linebacker my sophomore and junior year. We were the number one defense in the country. And I had built up, I had stayed engaged in the community. And so I think I would have done some things with appearances. I was entrepreneurial, of course, since starting a company, and would have found my way towards a dollar or two. And Nebraska fans are diehard. I think that anyone that plays football in Nebraska should be earning 5 figures a year in NIL income, and many will make 6 figures or more.
To your mouth, to God's ears, my friend. The business is in good hands with you in it. Rick Haro, be back in a minute.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network, doing our part to spread the winning edge nationwide.
Get on the grid.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
You were born with it. It's always been there. It's been the basis of many, many friendships and connection with people who just
know and think like you do.
It's made life fun. Welcome home
to the winning edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Rick Haro, Mike Blewett, special holiday college edition of our football show. Always significant, but certainly around the holidays, the gambling issues much more prolific than they ever have been. And one of the best guests you could ever hear from his perspective is Blake Lawrence. His Open Doors company is a hit, not just with 100 athletic programs, as we said before, but also many professional organizations, teams, leagues, unions, player associations. And Mike, you know, he was all over the place, but his consistent theme is preparing a platform through technology to get athletes educated and raising more money for everybody using the world of NIL. So, you know, what's your thought about that?
Yeah, so, and I'm very familiar with Open Doors and with Blake, and I'm glad he was able to join us and give a really great perspective. But I think what he's focusing on is extremely important, because we're in there's a ton of people jumping into companies jumping into the NIL space. But yet here is Blake with a platform that's nearly 10 years old and has proven their worth to a wide variety of professional athletes, Olympians in the past, and now are simply just adding student athletes. Over 50,000 student athletes signed up for Open Doors because it's free for them to sign up. But it really is important, the educational piece, because I think when people think NIL, Rick, they think, oh yeah, that's just going to the top couple of quarterbacks in the country and a couple of superstar Paige Beckers from UConn and a couple of other folks will cash in big and then everybody else will be left with nothing. But that isn't really the case. I see it as a three-tiered situation. I've said this on air before, so forgive me if any of you listening have heard this, but I see it as really three tiers. Yes, those superstars are going to get big endorsement deals, and they may very well, through the sheer power of their play and their accolades, be able to transform themselves financially as they head on to a potentially professional sports career. Paige Beckers, Bryce Young, pick another starting quarterback and a potential first-round pick, Kayvon Thibodeau from the University of Oregon. Those types of people are absolutely going to cash in. But what about tier number two? Somebody like Blake Lawrence, who was from Kansas and was a four-star linebacker and got a scholarship to go play football at the University of Nebraska. So now his hometown in Kansas loves him. His adopted hometown in Lincoln, Nebraska loves him. And Blake didn't go on to have a professional sports career for a number of reasons. He had concussion issues, so injuries sort of forced him out of football. But why not, while he was there, could he not take advantage of his potential, obviously immense talent off the field, which is being able to build a company? That entrepreneurial stuff was not embraced. But what about one of his teammates that wanted to start a camp on June 30th of 2021? It was against the rules. By July 1, you're good to go. And then you have to consider bucket number three, which is people that are going to walk on campuses all across the country, and their athletic director will have no idea that they are a social media influencer, and their social media fan base may not have any idea that they play soccer or volleyball. There's a young woman named Chloe Mitchell. She is at an NAIA school called Aquinas College, and she amassed millions of followers on TikTok and Instagram as she documented her building a she shed in her backyard during the pandemic for her and her friends to hang out. Now, she was able to make that a commercial entity by documenting that, Rick. And I think it's important that even though nobody will have any idea that she ever played volleyball, she was able to profit off of her name, image, and likeness because she's an entrepreneur. Again, it's really supporting those kids across the board. I know this is a wagering show, but I just wanted to give my thoughts on NIL and how it can tie in to this topic. People will be able to eventually utilize their brands in order to promote wagering potentially as well.
Well, it's a wagering show, but it's all interrelated. And yeah. You know, as we round out the college side of this, the NFT crypto world is important too. Why? Because it fits that college demographics. It's another source of money. It's a source of risk. And just like fantasy led us into legalized gaming, you'll see some of that happen. And I want to talk about that for a minute too. But just to round out NIL, one of the things that was important from Blake's perspective that I really do emphasize, I think, is the educational aspect of this and how this is classic free market. We talked about how this was Wild Wild West, kind of like the whole sports law thing was when I, you know, did my thing 50 years ago. But the Wild Wild West is the same uncertain free market. You know, those kids, that girl from Aquinas should have the opportunity to generate as much money as she could, just like the kid from Kansas who caught the two-point conversion and is now a hero all over Applebee's in Kansas, which was an example that Blake brought up, and everybody in between. So, you know, there are bugs in the NIL system. Who gets the money? How do they do it? But all told, it's a great opportunity, and we're on the ground floor of a very large building. Let's shift for a minute, if you don't mind, to the whole crypto world, in the sense that it's another example of risk in college sports. And so we know that publicly crypto.com has done a deal with a whole bunch of schools, for example. They also did the deal, as you know, with the Staples Center at $700 million. That's a lot of money. Yeah. And FTX and others are in this whole world, including paying for the naming rights of University of California's stadium in Berkeley. And it's all interrelated because this is stuff that the demographics fit with young kids and young demographics. And also, this is more marketing money that is risk-oriented money, but yet it's used to fund things like college programs, college naming rights, college athletes, college students. What's your thought on all that?
Yeah, I think since we are focused on the future of it, I think that's really important that I think there's a lot of young folks out there and people of all ages that are trying to figure out crypto. Some are scared of it. Some are fully invested in it and are bullish on it. But I think it's important to note that these types of topics are going to be intertwined for the years to come. It starts to break down walls. I think anytime something is new, and new to society, Rick, there's going to be trepidation. Some of it is well-founded. You know, whether it's cell phones, smartphones, to social media, to legalization of marijuana laws, all of these things are going to be adjudicated in the public eye. So I think it is important to know that some of these things do break down walls and we can find our way through it. We're able to manage it as a society, even though some days it feels like we're about to spin off into another galaxy and it feels a little wild there. I think it's important to know that these types of things are intertwined. Going back to what Blake was saying about educating young student athletes, I think that's really important regardless of age. I think people are going to have to take some time to understand the product. When it comes to the NCAA embracing it, I can't, in some ways, there's some days where I can't believe that we got here this quickly, but I do feel good about the future of it because I think more schools will understand that it's just another entity. I don't really see it as trying to cash in, make a quick buck. I see it as trying to form partnerships. And if in time you think, you know what, this casino or this sportsbook partnership isn't for us, then you can move on from it. I think it's a constantly evolving topic. And as we look towards the future, I think more schools will get involved. They'll start to understand where the best consumer experiences are. And if they don't feel like backing a certain brand, then they can move on to another one. But I think that's the future of it, is everybody getting educated to understand that this isn't a vice that's harmful to everyone. You can have fun with it. It does not have to be an investment for everyone. It can just be a little bit of fun on a weekend, on a game.
And let me give you a little curveball that relates to this whole world of crypto and NIL. How about NFTs? I can't even explain what an NFT is. I try to explain it to people, but I don't want anybody relying on my advice. But yet, how about this one? College players at the Senior Bowl this year are to receive personalized NFTs of appreciation with little highlights of their role and given out at the stadium. It's done by Panini with another firm. The organization is co-funded by the NFL PA and Major League Baseball PA, so there's the tie between colleges and pros. And the company is called Ricoeur, a digital collectible startup led by Mets owner Steve Cohen. The schools that are involved in this that allow the Senior Bowl to be part of this too, Virginia Tech, West Virginia, Florida State, Michigan State, Texas Tech, University of Utah. Just an example of a slippery slope. If someone would have said that a kid would be given an NFT at a Senior Bowl as a token of your appreciation, probably paid for by crypto and probably dealt with a whole newfangled world of currency, say you're nuts, but that's where we are today.
Yeah, and Kayvon Thibodeau, who I mentioned earlier, University of Oregon, expected to be a very high draft pick in the 2022 NFL draft. He created a one-of-one NFT with the help of Phil Knight and Air Jordan designer Jordan Tinker. So he created a very unique piece of art. I think that NFT space is something that is very difficult at times to grasp. The numbers that are flowing back and forth on it seem really astronomical at times. So I think, like everything else, you need to be educated on it. But in terms of, you know, more about the future of NCAA wagering, I would like to throw a question back to you. What do you think are the biggest blockades now? I clearly certain states are not going to pass laws anytime soon, if not ever, although I think your estimate is spot on. The 42 to 45 range in the next couple of years makes sense to me. But I'm curious what you think the blockades will be for this expanding, or is it just really subject to the market as a whole?
I think it's subject to politics, and I think it's subject to the perception that there is some deep-seated moral issue where it's all of a sudden Bible Belt controls. Now, polling doesn't agree with that, but that's why I think a lot of states haven't gotten in the fold as quickly as they could. And when we see how short-lived that is, which is my prediction of 4 or 5 years from now, it's almost everybody, you realize that the CEO of Disney, Bob Chapek, last week said that for the first time, Disney is going to reach out and do gaming deals themselves for Disney, not just ESPN, because they offered that $3 billion bounty, and that's going to happen sooner or later with their big brand. We understand why ESPN would do it. But who better than Disney to be the poster child for universal acceptance of gambling now? So the biggest hurdle, I think, Mike, of how we're not going to have some states accept it is going to be gone in the future as soon as people understand that there's nothing more important than money.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it is really interesting that the pandemic, as all the negative things that have come from it, the one thing is that it has created an entrepreneurial spirit with a lot of Americans based on their own business. And I think how that related to larger businesses like the ones that we're talking about, NCAA athletic departments, the NCAA as a whole, it made them realize that they're going to have to make some pivots. Very early on in the pandemic, we were talking about the University of Stanford cutting 11 sports. And that reversed course because they were able to get funding from alumni. Well, if another revenue stream is able to be open.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Is able to open up to a lot of schools and they find themselves to be comfortable enough with it, then I think that bodes well for the future of sports wagering. We're going to close out this hour of Football Full Circle, the future of sports wagering and the NCAA, right at.
We do this 24 hours a day, working hard to bring you the news you can use.
Get on the grid.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Winning doesn't just happen.
It takes a plan.
A strategy. All based on expert analysis and trusted information.
That's what you get.
Right here.
The Winning Edge.
We're not just doing this because we're nice guys.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Back on the grid, closing out this hour of Football Full Circle. It's a special edition of Football Full Circle, talking about the future of sports wagering in the NCAA. And Rick, I just leave you with a quote here from Jose Moreno. He's the Fiesta Bowl's chief marketing officer. They're obviously one of the six rotating hosts of the college football playoff semifinal. He said, the negative stigma and taboo is slowly fading away because it's so common right now. You can't watch a game without seeing somebody promoting sports betting. This is going to be the wave of the future. So that's sort of how I feel. I'm sure you have similar thoughts.
Similar thoughts, but the reason for it is even more important, and you nailed it. I think we all nailed it. If this show did nothing else for the hour, it ought to prove not just that it's happening, but why it's happening. Blake Lawrence says it's part of a world that will cause more kids to be educated. You've got other athletic departments that are now going to receive money for those other than football, baseball, basketball, for the example, the other eight that would have been eliminated at Stanford when they were going to cut 11 sports. There were a whole bunch of naming, crypto, NFT, other opportunities that are spawned by this new entrepreneurialism post-pandemic that causes people to think about how important this is. You do Moreno, I will do Pete Rose. Pete Rose has a Daily Picks new podcast that 20 minutes of picks just for Pete Rose. Quake Media CEO Doug Rosenberg says it's exciting to have a living legend talk about betting. Well, if that doesn't tell us everything you need to know that Pete Rose is making a comeback talking about gambling, I don't know what does.
Perfect way to end it, because that brings us basically full circle on a gambling discussion related to Pete Rose. This is Football Full Circle. It's the future of sports wagering and the NCAA. I appreciate you all listening. Thank you to Blake Lawrence. Thank you to our producer, Chris Bavona. Thank you to Rick Haro. Find him on Twitter, at Rick Haro. And I'm your host, Mike Blewett. Find me on Twitter, at Mike Blewett. Follow us on the grid, and we're going to come back with another hour at some point with the future of sports wagering in the NFL. Thanks for listening to this hour of Football Full Circle.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.